And we're holding today in Masechet Chagiga on Daf Chaf Hei. We start at the Halakha Mishnah on Daf Chaf Dalet Amud Beit. So until now, we've been talking about Chomer B'Kodesh, ways in which Kachim are more Chomer than Truma. But also, interestingly, there are ways that Truma is more Chomer than Kachim. Because Chomer B'Truma should be Huda Ne'amanim Atarat Yayin V'Shemen Ko Yimot HaShana, and B'Shat HaGitot V'Abatim, then Afala Truma. So if you live anywhere in Yehuda, as opposed to the Galil, so then we will trust an Am HaAretz who presents us with Yayin V'Shemen that have been dedicated to the Mizbeach. We already saw the issue before about the problem of Eva, and that in order to avoid situations where the Am HaAretz will have no Breira, when it comes to Truma, he can always give Truma to a Kohen Am HaAretz, friend of his. What do I need to give it to you guys for? But when it comes to Kodesh, we have to accept their level of Shmira on Kodesh, because otherwise we will have a real split. They'll make their own Beis HaMikdash, or they'll start Big Makriv on Bomes, they'll make their own Paraduma. So therefore, all of these dinim, of course, the deeper aspect of this is that it's Merumas in Kol Yisroel Chaverim, as we'll see in the Pasuk, that anything that has to do with the Beis HaMikdash, remember that Yerushalayim is called a Yir Shechubra La Yachdav. Yerushalayim is the city that creates a Yichud, an Achdus of all aspects of Klal Yisrael. That Yichud, the centerpiece of it, of course, is the Hashras HaShechina, which is Knesset Yisrael, in the Beis HaMikdash itself. So Mamela, anything in which that Hashpa'ah continues to have its impact felt, even if it's not in the Beis HaMikdash directly, is also part of that power of touching the undercurrents of the relationship to the nature of Yisrael in everyone, even in the biggest Am HaAretz. And because of that, we have these practical applications that turned out to be justifiable, just in terms of intellectual justification. I'm just pointing out here that it's important to note that this is not just, well, what can you do? You know, we're not going to be able to fix the problem of Am HaAretz for Beis HaMikdash. There's a deeper point here, which is really Merumas by Rashi earlier, the deeper point being the fact that in reality, Kol Yisroel Chaverim Beregel. So therefore, when it comes to anything that would be given by an Am HaAretz during any time of the year, in Yehuda, we'll see why only in Yehuda in a moment, but in Yehuda, we would accept it from an Am HaAretz. Masha Inkein, if he attempts to give Truma during the year, as we saw before, he's not Neman ala Truma. And therefore, it turns out that Truma is more Chomer. There is, however, a time that even an Am HaAretz is Neman on the Truma, and that is B'Sha'at HaGitot V'Abadim. So while it's the processing time for the wine and the oil, at that time, everyone needs to get a badatz hechsher. And in order to be able to do anything with their wine and with their oil, they're certainly not going to process on a commercial basis. They're going to process their wine for the entire year, their oil for the entire year, to destroy their nemanis, and that no one will be able to eat by them, and they won't be able to. Everybody gets a badatz hechsher. And therefore, during that time, it's assumed that if they bring something to you, it's definitely kosher. You don't have to worry about it. Even Richie can buy it without any worrying about the Tumas Amaretz, even though Richie was very machmir because of the pizza and so on. But when it comes to things that were specifically during the Badim, during the time of the Bad, during the time of the Gatz, he's got the wine, the oil, all of that would be kosher if it's during that time, even for Truma. But if you are a Kohen and it's past the time, so basically most people have finished processing their wine or processing, meaning processing their grapes or processing their olives. And this guy now is an Am HaAretz, brings you a barrel of wine of Truma. You should not accept it from him because you have to assume that it's Truma Tameya. But what you do is, and this is a brilliant idea, don't accept it from him, but let him leave it to present it to you during the next time that there's processing. And then even if you recognize it, heck, this is the same barrel I know. Yeah, it is. It is, it is. But then you couldn't accept it. And now you can accept it. That's true. In other words, the idea over here is, what is the takana vis-a-vis the interrelationship between Kohanim, Chaverim, and Amei Ha'aretz? But in terms of whether we're actually saying that it's Tamei and that if it was processed during that time, that's not what it's about. It's about the way in which we're able to allow interaction when it's possible. So fine, we allow you to accept the Truma from the Amei Ha'aretz during that time. And Memela, leave it to the next time. Now, there's also another way that he could accept it, and that is, Imamarlo, Hifrashti Letocha Revi'it Kodesh Ne'eman. So suppose the Kohen, the Amei Ha'aretz tells the Kohen, look, I have this barrel. Now, here's the thing. What's in the barrel? Now, most people assume I have this barrel of wine, and there's a revius of it that is Kodesh. So, you know, obviously that means he kept it on the level of Kedusha. That means he kept it on the level of Kedusha, which would be roy to give it to the Beis HaMikdash. But we do believe him for the Beis HaMikdash, right? So then the Kohen can believe him on the remainder of the wine, and everything would be fine. Now, the problem with this is, what do you mean everything would be fine? So he can't use any of it, because anything that he takes out is going to be Kodesh. Maybe Suffolk, I don't know, it's sort of like mixed with Kodesh and Truma. So what's he supposed to do? And then there's another problem. The other problem is, there is no such thing as a revius that is brought to the Beis HaMikdash. Why are we talking about a revius? There's no revius, a revius halug. Where do we have a din of revius halug by Kodesh? The Rashi, actually, says, probably because of these questions, what we're talking about is a revius of shemen. Now, that we do have, and that's the carbon for mitzvah. So we have a revius luk shemen. And therefore, if it's oil, then it's what it means is that in this barrel, this summer mafresh rash is very cute, that in this barrel of wine, I was mafresh also oil, which means that you could skim the oil off of the wine. So it's possible to be mafresh it. But once he's already neman that the oil was tar, so then the wine has to be tar. How are we going to say that the wine is tamei and we're taking out the oil to use in the Beis HaMikdash? That's crazy. So because of that, we say amigo. Amigo meaning since. Since he's believed on the part of it that is oil for the nesachim. So therefore, we would actually believe him for the truma as well. Now, what about, here's an interesting halacha. Kade yayin v'kade shemen. So now we've got these containers. It's the type of thing people carry containers, especially kohanim. Sometimes they have sort of a Parkinson's disease of containers. Notice Barnea. See, that's really, it's a neurological problem. And they just keep shaking containers all day. If you take a look on your screen, you could see that. And so because of that, okay, that was a great demonstration, Barnea. Thank you very much. So the problem is, what about containers? Can you use the container of an Amei Ha'aretz, since we're going to believe him about the contents of the containers during the Gitot and the Batim for Truma? Certainly believe him on the contents of the containers for Kodesh all year round. So what's the din just of the containers themselves? Now, when it says over here, kade yayin v'kade shemen hamedumaot, this is a bit confusing, because medumaot usually means where you have a mixture of truma and chulin together. And then it would be saying that they are neman. They're neman, but they're not, I thought they're not neman on truma. And here it says that they're neman even 70 days before the Shasa Gites Vahabanim. This is extremely confusing. But let's ignore that for a moment. So now we understand that in order to be properly ready for the processing times for the olives and for the grapes, obviously you don't want to get caught in a position of Elisha's woman with her Kadesh Shemen. She didn't have enough Kadesh Shemen. Imagine if she would have had an entire warehouse and Elisha would have said to her, okay, just keep pouring. And now she pours out 300,000 gallons worth of Shemen. I mean, it would have been a much nicer nace, right? I mean, like this, she's stuck. Only the stuff that she was able to borrow from the neighbors. So she borrows as much. He tells her, get as many containers as you can. Any neighbors have got a Coke bottle, go ahead and grab the Coke bottle. But obviously, you know, once we learned our lesson, I mean, you never know. So because of that, you want to have lots of containers around, especially if you're processing your own olives, you don't need magic. So then it would be good to have enough containers to be able to package your olive oil. How are you going to sell it with the Batatz Hechsher if you don't have your packages ready? So therefore, 70 days before, we already are able to buy these containers and to store them in preparation for the processing time. So the same way that there's a Batatz Hechsher during the actual Gat and during the actual Bad, so during the Gat for the wine and the Bad for the Shemen, there is also a 70-day window beforehand where there's a Hechsher, so to speak, on the Kelim given as an Umdana that people have been making sure that their Kelim don't become Tmein. Now, okay, so we'll talk about what the Medumaot means in the Gemara. Let's talk about the beginning of the Mishnah. The Mishnah made a distinction between Yehuda and other places. Now, why would that be? I mean, people are very religious in the Galil. Why can't they get a Batatz Hechsher in the Galil? So, I mean, Tzfat, oh man, I mean, you know, you can assume things were really, really exciting over there with the Batatz Hechsher, right? So if the issue is Ne'amanus, why are we not Ma'amin Nam Aretz, who says that he's okay all year round, and why are we not Ma'amin B'Shas HaGitot V'Abadim? I don't understand. My time. Omer Reish Lakish, because it is not transportable. Because the only way that you can get from the Galil to the Beit HaMikdash, and that's the only reason that we're believing them, right? We're believing them because, in fact, they say, well, we made it special for the Beis HaMikdash, so because of that, we have to believe them, as we spoke about. But suppose you can't possibly get to the Beis HaMikdash. Why would you not be able to get to the Beis HaMikdash? Because there was a Ritzu'ah, Omrei Shlokesh, you can't transport it. Mipnei Ritzu'ah Shel Kutim Mafseket Benehem. There is one strip of land where we were never got rid of the Kutim, and the Kutim were given a din of Goyim. Ultimately, after it was found that they worship this Dvut Yonah and Har Gerizim, part of Barnea's neighborhood, which I'll be happy to take you to see the Yonah and Har Gerizim and so on. He's got a whole tour for Yonot and Har Gerizim. And so because of that, that area got a din of Eretz HaAmim because we were Gozer on Kutim, Liot Ka'akum L'chol Dover. Once it had a din of Eretz HaAmim, it now becomes Tameh. So there'd be absolutely no way to get that beautifully Tohar, Shemen, and Yayin to the Beis HaMikdash because by virtue of taking it through that area, it already became Tameh. Asks the Gemara, so what? You could always fly it in, right? I understand that you can't have it exposed to the ground, but you could certainly helicopter it in or take it in any kind of flying device, you know. I mean, it could be Harry Potter, it could be, for those people who are into Hyperion, you know, it could be a Hawking's mat, or maybe even just the good old-fashioned Shida Teva V'Migdal. This was the big problem with El Al, remember, that was flying over that cemetery, is this sugya. You know, they had to make protective suits for Kohanim that somehow, I don't know how they worked, but maybe Barnea could tell us about the experience of flying on El Al in a protective tuma suit. No, he can't tell us. Okay. But in any event, the problem over here is that as long as you're in a sealed unit that is flying, now it could be it's flying in very primitive ways because people are carrying it underneath, or it could be it's flying in magical ways or very high technology ways. I don't care how it's flying, but the point is you could always transport it by air. And Laitua, why can't you bring it in a Shida Teva V'Migdal? Ah, because we're going according to Rebbe, and Rebbe says that a flying ohel is not considered to be an ohel, and it's not matzil from Tuma. D'tanya ha'nichnas le'eretz ha'amim b'shidat teva u'migdal. So you go in some kind of some kind of closet or some kind of coach. Rebbe says, you're still going to be tamei from Eretz Ha'amim. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you're inside of an ohel, so it should be okay. So if we're going a Liba de Rebbe, that would explain why there's no way to transport it, and therefore there is no reason to be maiming the Amei Haaretz, because they can't really bring things to the Beis HaMikdash and bring them for the Menachas. So that would explain it. Now the problem, of course, is, as Tosis points out, we do know that they used to keep Tahira in the Galil. In order to keep Tahira in the Galil, it would mean that anyone that ever went to a funeral would need Efer Porah. But how the heck did we get Efer Porah to the Galil if the only way we could get the Efer Porah was to Eretz Ha'amim, and the Efer Porah itself would become pasul when exposed to the Eretz Ha'amim? And furthermore, even at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, which is what we're talking about over here, if we're trying to get things ready for Menachas, obviously there must be a Beis HaMikdash. How in the world did people go and get to Aliyas HaRegel? There was no Aliyas HaRegel from the time of Shalmaneser, because there was a Ritzua of Eretz Ha'amim. Doesn't seem to make any sense. What's worse is that the Tosefta, as Tosis brings, is mechalik between Eretz Ha'amim and Eretz HaKutim. And so, basically, the Tosis explains that there were two dargas, and brings a raya from the Yerushalmi, that the Kutim actually came to Rabbi Avu to complain about economic warfare that was being waged against them, which is concomitant to a declaration of war, as you know, from yesterday's newspapers. And because of that, they didn't understand why it is that once upon a time, your own grandfathers used to buy all of these things from the Kutim, and now nobody comes into our stores and buys anything. Now, how do you explain that? How come we're not allowed to give you wine and so on? And he told them it used to be, before we discovered, or before you were mekalkel, is the lashon of the Yerushalmi, before you were mekalkel ma'asechem to be ovid avid azara, that we certainly would. We would love to be able to do business with you guys. But now that you were mitkalkelim, so how are we supposed to buy anything when you're like goyim? So therefore, nowadays, you're like goyim. So Tosis explains that indeed there were two different kufot, and the Tosefta is talking about the difference between Eretz Ha'amim and Eretz HaKutim, where it says beferish in the Tosefta that the mikvaot and the shvilim and the Eretz HaKutim are tahorim. That was referring to the time before the gezerah of Rabbi Meir Sha'asa'um ka'akum l'chol davar. So therefore, at that time, which was before the Mishnah is written, and before the gezerah of Rabbi Meir, at that time, ein achinami. It was completely different. But now, it's actually has the same din of Eretz Ha'amim. So this is the way that is going to be nogea, the next piece of Gemara as well. This is the way that Rashi understands. I'm going to tell you other approaches in a moment. Asks the Gemara, but aren't there other ways to transport things through Eretz Ha'amim? You could just bring it in a klicheres, hamukaf, tzamit, patil. Omar Rabbi Eliezer, well, you couldn't do that, because we have a Braita, Shonim, we learn from Tanoim in the Braita, that actually, Eina Kodesh Nitzah B'Tzamit Patil, that there's another Chumra, please mute, there's another Chumra, and that Chumra is that why this is not listed in the list of Chumras, that Sabrei Tosis is bothered by this, by a number of other issues similar to this, that Kodesh is not Nitzah B'Tzamit Patil. So even though Truma may be, but Kodesh isn't. But doesn't it say, Beferish in the Braita, that actually Ein Chatat Nitzalet B'Tzamit Patil, that if you have Chatas water, that means you've mixed the ashes of the Paraduma with the Mayim Chaim, that if it's exposed to Truma is going to become destroyed. So you put it into a Klicheres with a Tzamit Pasel. It's not going to help. Now that's Mashma, that it's a mala of chatas over truma, which was in the previous parak. And we're going to see more of later. So that means the mashma'ut is that kodesh would be nitzal. Only mechatas is not nitzal. So then we're back to our question. Why can't you bring this shemen and yayin for the Beis HaMikdash in a klicheres hamukav tzamid pasil? Says the Gemara, well, that's because you're not reading the Braisa right. When it says that you cannot use a tzomit posel to make your mayim mixed with the efrachatas to be tahar, it doesn't mean, but you could for kodesh. What it means is that if you were just transporting mayim that are not yet mixed with the efer para, so they're mayim she'enan mekudashim, but you went ahead and you actually collected it from Mayim Chaim, and now it's Miyuchad for the Parah, that Mayim She'enan Mekudashim, they indeed are Nitzel, but Samit Pasul. The only Chumrah that we have over here for Chat, we're not talking about Kodesh. I don't know what the implications are vis-a-vis Kodesh. I mean, we just saw that Kodesh is also not Nitzel in a through a Klicheres book of Samit Pasul. That may be true. Our Braisa is not relevant to the issue of Kodeshim because it's not making Diyukim. It's not talking about that. It's only being careful to describe the difference between water that was already mixed with the Mechatas, I mean, with the Efrachatas, which is called Maimamba Kudashim. And over here, it's talking about Mayim She'enam Mekudashim, but were Miyuchad as being certified Mayim Chaim that were collected, the way they used to collect the water in stone vessels and so on. That is what it's referring to. Okay, now, you said that because there is a Ritzua of land that's inhabited by Kusim, so remember that as we spoke about the Kusim, we had many times, there were different levels of our relationship to Kusim, besides the original Machlokas, that after the Kusim were transferred to Eretz Yisrael in a population exchange, which was part of the Ashur approach to controlling the areas that they had captured in war. So the Kusim were settled here in Eretz Yisrael. And during the original period, so there, we didn't treat them Kegoyim called Dovar. And this was a big machlokas at the time where the Kusim were considered. Remember, the Kusim became gerim because they were eaten up by lions. They were attacked by wild lions. And they attributed that attack, as is brought in the Navi itself, they attributed that attack to the anger of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to them was the God of the land, to the fact that they weren't Jewish. They decided they're going to become Jewish. So that's called gerei arayot, lion-driven gerut. So, because of that, the question is, does that make him real Gerim, or is this sort of just trying to take advantage of the Elohei Aretz? Hey, Elohei Aretz, guess what? We became Jewish. Please stop sending the lions. That don't sound like much of a Gerut to me. So that was a question. You know, are they considered to be Ger Arayas? Are they considered to be Geri Emes? Now, the Maisa, the Shitas of the Rishonim, that afterwards they definitely did, because the Rabbanut was giving them hell. So anyway, they decided they'll do a re-Gerut like we have today with the people from Kush, very similar to Kut. So, okay, so the same idea. But anyway, then we had to make a Gezerah because of this little story of their having been discovered worshiping Barnea's pigeons and the Dmut Yonah. And therefore, at that point, they were given a din of Goyim. Now the question is, if that's true, how do you explain the fact that Ula said that nowadays, now he's not talking about the Zman of Beis Hamikdash, nowadays we have Chaverim making wine and shemen in Tyre, Medakan Begalila. So, because they want to have things ready for the Beis Hamikdash the moment that it's rebuilt. It was a movement that was led by Rav Ariel, as Barnea can tell us more of. So they wanted to be all ready with the things for the Beis HaMikdash. But why bother? If you can't transport them from the Galil anyway, so what difference does it make? Well, it means, look, I mean, anyway, it's an investment in the future, right? So they're setting it aside in a Mokum Tohar, and then they figure when Eliyahu HaNavi comes together with Mashiach, he will be metired. So Rashi is, what do you mean, metired? Eliyahu can't wave a magic wand to be metired, something at stomach, can he? So it must mean, says Rashi, that Eliyahu, that's a card carrying Eliyahu member?
Yeah, he will be licensed to guide and find a path where nobody else can find
the
path.
Oh, okay.
It's the ultimate tour guide.
You got Eliyahu Hanavi's card there? It doesn't look very, very much like, wow. Okay, I always imagined him looking like sort of more savage. So anyway, so Eliyahu, this is actually what Rav Barnea just showed us, is Rashi's approach, that Eliyahu will be able to show us a pathway where, for a fact, that particular area was not Tomei B'Tumas Am. I mean, we're not such Bekiim that we know every last trail and which part was exactly inhabited by Kutim. Remember that the Gezer Eretz Amim is based on the fact that the Goyim were not mocked, but where they would be kover their Mesim, and particularly where they would be kover babies that were aborted, because they, obviously they were aborting babies all the time so their husbands wouldn't find out. And because of that, they were mitame like the whole area. So that's where it goes. And therefore, we need to know, okay, so where was there a place where that wasn't really inhabited by Kutsim? But others learn that that's not the point at all. Some are looking for a pathway. The point is, these are other Rishonim that argue on the way that Rashi understands it. Rashi understands it that the idea of the Kusim having a din of Akum means that that means anywhere that the Kusim lived, this Mamish has a din like the Eretz Ha'amim. So now you have to ask yourself, can a Kohen go from the Galil to Yehuda, or vice versa? And Kohen is, it says in the Shulchan Aruch, a Kohen is not allowed to be mitameh in Tumas Eretz Ha'amim. So the question is, does an Eretz HaKutim in Eretz Yisrael have a din mamish of Eretz HaAmim? So the point over here is, like we had in Olos, remember, that a city of Akum that was destroyed, Ein b'mishum ador Akum, that was in the Perek Yudches. And if that's the case, then when we're mevatel the yishuv of the Goyim in Eretz Yisrael, the real meaning would be that this area is now tar, not that Elio is going to find a pathway through, and that the din of Madurot HaKutim is not Chas V'Shalom to turn Eretz Yisrael into Chutz La'aretz to give it that din. So the moment that they're no longer there, so then there wouldn't be a problem of the Eretz HaKutim. That's the simple way of understanding it without having to get Elio a certification for tour guide. Okay, continues the Mishnah. B'sha'at ha'gitot ne'emanim af al ha'truma. So he said that you can even take, accept as a Kohen, truma from an Amoraites as long as it's during the period when everybody's being metayer their gat and their bat. The problem is that the Mishnah in Taharos says something that implies that that's very not true. It says over there that if someone is an Amoraites and he is now finishing up his olive processing. So if he wants to be able to give this to a Kohen who is not going to accept it from him because he's an Amoraites, so he should always leave one large container of olives that are unprocessed, because that he could give to a Kohen, and then because the olives are not going to become roi lekabel tuma until you start actually processing them, you put that aside. And then you can be sure the Kohen will see, oh, this box is in Tameh. So then he will be mekabel it from you. And even though at this point there's a problem over here, if they're oozing, they're already ready for processing, aren't they oozing? But that's because there's two approaches to this. Either because the Bialim is not happy with the fact that they're oozing, and therefore it's not ki yutan, because it has to be similar to kiyitin, or because the juice that oozes out of the olive initially without pressing is considered to be the mohal. It's not considered to be shemen yet, and mohal is not considered to be sufficient to be actually mechshir lekabel tuma. So then you can give it to an oni kohen. Why bedafka to an oni kohen? So there's two approaches. Tosfos says this is the wrong girsa, and if you read it la oni kohen, you're making a big mistake. You have to read that is la ene kohen. You have to mean he has to see that this is what you did from the beginning, that you were careful with it, and then he can take it from the Amoraites. So you should know that this is a shomer from the beginning. The only other reason we would say la ani kohen Actually, will become clear later on. We give our answer to the steer that in a moment. But it could also mean that since, look, this is a pretty poor quality gift. I mean, Cohen's waiting for a beautiful bottle of olive oil, and you're giving him this stuff and say, you take care of it yourself. So that you would not want to give to anyone but an ani, because it's not a high quality gift. Okay, but in any event, the mashmaut is what? That if the Cohen would have actually been in a position of needing to take the truma from after you're finishing up the olive processing, he wouldn't be allowed to. Why? Because he's not Maharetz. But I thought you're talking about, obviously, during the Gitot here, right? During the Badim here, because you're talking about the olive oil while he's ready to process it. And you said in the Mishnah, in our Mishnah, that the Kohen's allowed to accept it 100%, as long as it's during the time of the Badim. So there's a contradiction here in the Mishnah. Yes or no? Do we believe them during the time of the Badim, or do we not? Omer Ibn Nachman, that's not a problem. Habacharfe, in the Mishnah we're talking about the early olives, meaning during the regular time when everybody's processing. But in the Mishnah, it says you've got to leave over. That's talking about that most people have already finished the Gitot to the Badim. And at that point, we do not believe the Kohen should accept it from the Amoritz, because at that point, we don't say that everybody was betired their Gitim. If that's the case, then the Oni Kohen makes a little bit more sense, because the things that were left over to the very end of the season are not given to people that are Choshev. They're given to the poor, along with the various matanos, la'aniyim. So we give this as well. So we give it to a poor Kohen. Maybe that's why it said the poor Kohen. Obviously, it doesn't mean you have to give it to a poor Kohen. So that would be another approach besides the le'enei Kohen that Tosfos suggested. By the way, says Rav Ada bar Ava to Rav Nachman, I mean, this is not so unusual, you know, because your dad always used to wait till the end of the season before he processed his olives. So you know perfectly well from a personal basis what we're talking about over here. Ka'otan shabet avicha. It's like the ones that your father always would give. He didn't process it at the beginning of the season. Rav Yosef says, what's the problem over here? Tell me how you read the Mishnah. That they're neman during the time of the Gitot Haba. Tell me how did you read that? You understood that Kohanim, no matter where they are? No. I'm reading that part of the Mishnah as a continuation of the opening of the Mishnah, which is that if you're in Yehuda, that then we believe you all year round for Kodesh. And if you're in Yehuda, then we believe you for Truma, if it's Bishas, Habadim, and Agitot. But that would mean that in the Galil, you would not be Neman. So there's two different issues. So that Mishnah, that's talking about in Oyalos, that's talking about in the Galil. And our Mishnah is talking about in Yehuda. Esve Abaye. Ever Hayarden Vagalil Harei Ein Ki Yehuda. The Bryce says Beferish. There's no difference between areas where the people are going to be careful exactly the way they would be in Yehuda. And it doesn't matter whether you're in the Galil, you're in Ever Hayarden. We're Neman, even the Amearites were Neman, Al Hayayin Bishat Hayayin, Ve Al HaShemen Bishat HaShemen, Avelo Al Hayayin Bishat HaShemen, Velo Al HaShemen Bishat Hayayin. Look, I understand that logically you're saying, I mean, either the guy is Tar or he's not Tar. I mean, if we're believing him vis-a-vis the oil, so how is he going to be Metame the Yayin? How can he, with one moment, go into one storage garage and take out wine and be Metame it, but the other one he's processing oil, and for that he's Tar? That makes sense? No, it doesn't make sense, but it doesn't have to make sense. The entire idea over here are the issues of when we will be Mekabel from an Amoritz, and that's the way that it is. So because of that, you can't answer the Mishnah the way you answered the Mishnah, because I tried that, Barney, and for some reason, everything poured out of the bottle. I don't know why. I thought that would, I guess you hold it upside down so it's easier to get into your stomach. I tried it. Maybe in the old city it works. Around here, all the stuff gushed out of the bottle. Now I don't have anything to drink. So now,
other Vinafochu usually works.
Maybe not in Netanya. I don't know. So anyway, so you can't answer the stira that way because it simply isn't true, according to the Brisa. You read the Mishnah wrong, Rabbi Yosef. The correct way to read the Mishnah is the way we read it ourselves. It's talking about the entire Galil, Eretz Yehuda. It's exactly the same. And Amaretz is believed vis-a-vis Truma at the time of the Gittot and the Badim. And therefore, how do we explain the difference? It's got to be the way we said it before. Namely, Haba Afle and Haba Charfe. It depends if they're early olives or they're at the end of the season, and therefore we don't no longer can trust it because there's too much tuma around. Again, people are not worried about the badats at this time. Okay, the next thing that it said in the Mishnah is that once the time of the Gittot and the Badim have passed, so if they bring a container of wine or a container of oil, you are a Kohen, do not accept it. But you can keep it to the next Gat. Well, it's a very strange way of saying things. In other words, you're saying do not accept it, but obviously it's not tameh, right? I mean, or you just said it's tameh. I mean, if it was tameh, so, and you're going to leave it to the next God? How can you leave it to the next God? If you already recognize it as being the oil that was tameh, what good is it for him to represent it to you on the next God? So something is weird over here. It seems to be telling me how to act, but not how to treat. So in other words, I need to act in a way in which I will refuse to accept it from him, but I will not have to treat it as if it's tummy. Seems to be that's the whole point. That's what it's saying. Don't accept it. Okay, so what if you did accept it? I mean, so are we telling you if any Kohen was over on the Mishnah, went ahead and accepted it, so at that point he has no choice but to treat it as tummy? Whereas if he didn't accept it, so then even though the same thing is presented to him, next gut season, he could accept it because it's only a din in treating. Is that what it means? That it will be tame like everything else that we're talking about only if you accept it. Well, that's, I don't know. So they asked Rav Shesha, suppose the Kohen didn't listen to the Mishnah. He was Ovar and he did accept it. Now the Kohen himself says, I know I'm not allowed to use it now because it came from an Am HaAretz, but the Mishnah said that if the Am HaAretz would have presented the same barrel to me next year at this time, a little bit earlier, I would have been able to accept it, right? So I'm just going to put it away in my wine cellar. And a year from now, when it, anyway, it's better to keep it for a while. A year from now, I will have this wine all ready for me. And then it'll be during the time of the Gat. And so I would be able to use it myself. Is that okay or not? Amar lo, Rav Shesha says, look, you can figure out the answer from the Mishnah. It says in the Mishnah in Demai, a chaver v'am haaretz yarshua et avihem am haaretz. We've got a case, we've talked about this case in different contexts. So the halacha over there is, one of the children of this guy who died is makbid to eat chulin b'taira. So he wants to make sure that the food that he inherits from his father's household, who is not a chaver, is tahar. Now, he knows that his father has some wheat that just came in from a wheat crop before he died, and it never was exposed to any kind of liquid. So he knows that that can't be tummy. There were other older wheat that was mukshel kabel tuma. So he wants to keep the one that wasn't mukshel kabel tuma for himself, and he's got brothers that are not makbid, and he's going to leave the rest of it for his brother. So what he says is, okay, look, why not have me take the wheat in location A, where over there he knows it wasn't mukshar, and you take the wheat in location B. So tola tachitim b'shebamakom ploni, v'ani chitim shebamakom ploni. Or we have the same issue with wine, and he wants to assure was tahar. So you take the wine shebamakom ploni that doesn't have the badat section. I'll take the wine which is in the other place, which does. So now, l'chora, the moment that the father died, the food falls to all of the heirs equally. However, since over here, one is going to be taking ultimately a chelek, and we're talking about the same type of food, wheat, wine, whatever the case may be, so then it makes sense to say breira, that now that we're pointing out that this will be the one that is assigned to me, and this is the one that's assigned to you, that's fine. But you cannot tell him, Lo yomar lo, you can't tell him, you take the liquid things, which are shayach to tuma, and I will take dry things. So in other words, you take shemen, you take yayin, I will take grain, and so on. You can't do that. You can't say, you take the wheat, which has become muksha lekabel tuma, and I'll take the barley, which was not muksha yet lekabel tuma. Why can't you do that? Because you can't say breira where it's obviously not true. If this was emet to both of you, so then you could say which part of it is mine and which part of it is yours. But since at the father's death, the barley was meant to be split, and the wheat was meant to be split, and the liquids were meant to be split. So if you're saying, okay, well, we split it, I'll take this one, you take that one of the wheat. I'll take this of the barley, you take that of the barley. I'll take this of the wine, you take that. That's okay, because then you can say that now we know which part was meant to fall to which brother. But we certainly cannot say that only barley was meant to fall to one brother and only wheat to the other brother. That's absurd. What is really happening over here is that they're switching, they're selling. But you can't do that because then you're going to be over on Lifnei Iver. From your, remember, Chavra is not allowed to give things that are tameh to someone. So because of that, there's no way to do it. V'toni Allah. Now, here's the point, says Rav Sheshes. It says in a brayta, so what do you do? Suppose there was truma. So, okay, if the child over here who is the heir inherited things that are tamei, so then he can burn the things that are tamei, and either this means if it's roy to burn as shemen of truma, fine, so he can burn it in his oven. And he can be meniach et hayavesh, and he leaves the dry tuma around. Now, why does he have to burn it according to this? All he needs to do is wait until the next season, and then the got even of his father who was an Am Haaretz is now okay to accept truma from. So it seems from here that if a chaver got something, and over here he had no choice because his father died and he got it, not at the time of the gotting. So if that's the case, he can't wait till the got abba to get. So he is going to have to burn it? No. How do you know? Maybe the Bryce is talking about where we're not talking about something that has a season. What doesn't have a season? Beer. Beer doesn't have a season. So maybe we're talking about beer. And when it says to burn it, obviously you can't burn beer, but when it says burn it, it means just burn, baby, burn, meaning it's no good. He's going to have to get rid of it. What are you going to do with it? But wait a minute. Couldn't he keep it for Yontif and drink the beer during Yontif? Because as we're going to see later on, the halacha is that Yontif makes even Amei Haaretz Neman on all of their food. So since it says you're going to have to get rid of it, you got to burn it, apparently the Chavar cannot rely on the Tumah of the Am Haaretz for whatever the next time that we believe the Heksher is on. I don't know, not necessarily. I mean, maybe it's talking about the kind of thing that's not going to be. It's just saying if there's something that you can't use, then burn it. There's nothing to do. What is something that you can't use? Something that doesn't have a season or something that is not going to be able to be stored all the way up until the regal. The beer's going to get ruined by then. So what should I do? What should I do? Don't do anything. Throw it down the drain. That's what it's saying. So from here, we can't bring a riot. And now the Mishnah said that if the Am Haaretz says to the Chavar, you should know that, by the way, there's a revius of Kadesh in here, then he's Neman for the entire barrel, even the Chelek, which is Truma. So now the problem is that we know, this is also, we discussed this when we learned Olot, but we've discussed this Mishnah many times in other situations, and that is that Modim Beit Shammai Beit Hillel Shebotkim Lo'osei Pesach Ve'ein Botkim Lo'ochlei Truma. So remember, we have this concept of a Beit HaPras. Now, a Beit HaPras is an area where there was a kever, and the kever was plowed under. Once it's plowed under, now we're choshesh that there are fragments of etzem kiseora that will be metame, but it will not be metame be'ohel, it will only be metame be'maga, and therefore if you didn't end up touching them, removing them, there's not going to be a problem. And therefore, if you are on your way to get your Korban Pesach done, and you've got to cut through an area where there is a Beit HaPras, this was our old special Beit HaPras blower. They're still available. Now they started using them for leaves. They call them leaves blower. They were originally developed for Kohanim to be able to go through a Beit HaPras. So therefore, that's why they're really not usable because of the noise level. But okay, if you're just using it once to go through a Beit HaPras, you know. So the Kohanim used to use these blowers, go through the Beit HaPras, and that way, if there was anything that was the size of an Etzem Kisaora, they would be able to either expose it by blowing the ground around or just blowing it out of the way, right? And they could blow their way across a Beit HaPras, because we don't want them to miss their Korban Pesach. I mean, the Korban Pesach is the most chashuva mitzvah. I mean, we've got an Isser Kores on not bringing a, it's only for Mila and Pesach that we have this issue that it's chayiv Kores on a mitzvah saseh. And so because of that, we do allow you to go across in order not to be over on not bringing your Pesach. But we will not allow you to be bodek a Beit HaPras if you're going to eat truma. Because over there, even if you blew your way across the field, you're not going to, you just blew it. You're not going to be able to eat your truma. And that's because truma doesn't have a particular time in which it can be brought, in which you can eat it. So fine, so go become tahor and eat your truma later. Why does it have to be today? Your Korban Pesach, if you don't bring it today, you're in trouble. So therefore, Ochel Truma, even if he blows his way across the Beit HaPras, is going to be tummy. Now, how exactly, when it says bodkin, how are we bodek? So Rav Yudah Amar Shmuel says it means to use your those tuma blowers. Minapeach adam Beit HaPras va'olech, and these are these machines which you blow your way across. Rav Chiya bar Ava mishmei de'ula amar, but the way that you check the Beit HaPras is very simple. You look for an area that people have been walking over for a long time. So that's called trampling, disha. And a Beit HaPras nidash, anything that's been walked on a lot, you find a place that it's all flat, and any types of fragments that were on it would have been pushed into the ground. They're no longer going to be something that you touch. Fine. Why is there this difference? The Osei Pesach, that's because the Rabbanon did not go to the Din of Beit HaPras if it is going to be ma'akev you from doing a mitzvah, which is a chiev kares. Masha ein kein la'och le truma. So this would be a, basically they're going to be telling them that they're here, this is a sort of a play opposite directions. Since eating truma, betuma, would be an iser misa, and you think iser misa, well, okay, it's not chumis b'dei shemayim, it's not chumra like kares, but they were ma'amid divrei b'makom misa, which is obviously not really comparable. One is to make sure that you don't come to the iser misa, and the other is you don't come to not doing it, and therefore being chayav kares, but it's a very cute presentation. So because of that, you can take the road less trodden, only for the Pesach, not for the truma. Anyway, so now the question is like this, and you can see how this relates to this story that we've just been talking about. If we're going to be miming somebody on one part of an issue, we'll be memela miming him in an area that was not directly the level of Nemanut, like the case in the Mishnah. If he said, I left over a little bit for Kodesh, so then he's Neman also on the truma. So now the question is like this. Suppose you used your tuma blower to cut across to get to the Beis HaMikdash for your Korban Pesach. Can you then eat truma? Because, I mean, once we're going to rely on this for eating truma, Kodesh, so then we should rely on it for eating truma too, right? So that is a machlokis. Ula says, well, if you checked it for your Pesach, I mean, then obviously if it was okay for Pesach, we can't say it's not okay for Truma. So there, of course, you could eat your Truma. Whereas Rabba Bar Ula Omar, no, if you were Bodek for Pesach, they were never matir. Eating Truma, it's only a kosher bedika. Comes along Eliyahu HaNavi, which Omar Le'ahu Saba, which is, we said, this Tosis brings him. Normally we take that to mean Eliyahu HaNavi. And he told Rabba Bar Ula, do not argue with Ula on this issue. You're totally wrong. Bodak Lepischa, of course, would be Mutar Lecho Betruma, because the Mishnah says that Ula is right. Which Mishnah? That Mishnah in Chagiga that we happen to be learning right now. Imamar Hifrashti Letocha Revi'is Kodesh Ne'eman. So what do you see? You see that once we allow you, Midimehemen HaKodesh, Mehemenami HaTruma. So it's the same thing. Pesach is Kodesh, and we're miming the blowing your way across the Beit HaPras for eating the Kodesh and bringing your Korban Pesach. So therefore, if he's Neman on Pesach, he's Neman also the Gabi the Truma, and it's exactly the same issue. Now, the next piece that we had was this business of 70 days before, where you're getting the containers ready, that we will believe him on even 70 days before the Zman of the Badim and the Zman of the Gitot. Now, Brisa says, Ein ne'emanim, lo alakan kanim, amei ha'aretz are not believed in when they're selling containers. And they're not believed on Truma, to say that it's tar. Now, when you're saying they're not believed on the kankanim, what do you mean? What's in these kankanim? Kankanim demai. I kankanim de kodesh. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. If we're talking about there's wine inside a kankan or oil inside of kankan that the Amoritz wants to bring to the Beis HaMikdash, it doesn't make sense to say that he's not Neman, because Migo de Meheman HaKodesh, Meheman Nami HaKankanim. We're not going to say that the Kankanim are Tamei and the contents is Tohar, because that would be a tremendous bizarion for Kodesh. So why does the Brisa say he's not? If you're talking about Kankanim de Truma, well, obviously they're not Neman. Pshita, I mean, we're not Neman, even the Gabi de Truma itself. Well, but there he's going to be more careful. Once he knows the din of Tyre, it's just that we're not accepting the Amma Aretz, not because we don't trust him, but because he basically does not have the requisite level of awareness for it to be considered to be Shomer. And that's even where he's dealing with the Truma. So how in the world would we assume that his Kalim would be kosher where there weren't? I mean, this is just the Kankanim. You know, and the Truma will allow him at certain times. I mean, that he's allowed to be believer. Why would we believe him about Kankani? So therefore, says the Gemara, the case in that we're talking about over here in the Braita, I'll tell you, it's talking about Rekanim of Kodesh. These were empty things that were meant to be used for Kodesh. And it's talking about any time during the year. The Kiddush over here would be, even though while it's full of Kodesh, we are miming him, and therefore if he says it's Tahar, we accept the fact that it's Tahar. That could be any time during the year, we said, if he's in Yehuda. The moment, however, you take the Kodesh out of the Kankan, and now he's trying to sell you, here is a Kankan with the Badatz Hechsher, it's no longer kosher. Now it's just a normal empty kankan of an Amma Aretz. And that's what it's referring to. Or it could be referring also Truma, where the Truma is actually mole, and it is talking about the time in which we do believe the Truma, but for Truma, it's not a bizoyan for the Chover to say to the Amma Aretz, thank you very much for this wonderful barrel of wine. However, I use my own barrels for wine, so please pour it into a barrel of mine. So he gives him a barrel of his. That's okay, because he cannot take even the container. And over there, it's not a bizoyin HaKodesh. So over there, we allow him to accept it, but we do not allow the Kohen to keep the container because we don't want you to have the container of an Amma Aretz. So just because normally you would be metairet, we're not going to change the gezerah. So that would be what it would be referring to, right? Bimaleim de truma, and that could be even bisha'at agitot. Now, how does that fit with our Mishnah? Our Mishnah says, kade yain v'kade shemen ha-medumaot. What does medumaot mean exactly? I mean, the word meduma is a word that refers to truma that got mixed with chulin. So we call that meduma because it still has, since every tevel is essentially mixed chulin v'truma until you separate out the truma. So when the truma gets mixed in, it's considered to be meduma. Now, Kodesh, there's nothing to take out that could possibly mix back in, which is the concept of Meduma. So if that's the case, it's got to be referring to Truma, Lechora. So when it says Meduma Ot, then it's essentially talking about Truma. You said that you will not accept the Ama Oritz's Kade Yain or Kade Shemen if they're Truma. And our Mishnah says they're Neman even for the Kadim. So how do you explain that? The way that you explained it there is obviously connected our Mishnah. Amre Deve Rebbe Chia, it means Meduma Ot of Kodesh. There's no such thing as the Muav Kodesh. Cut it out. The word doesn't make any sense. How can you use it for Kodesh? It's not, there is nothing that you could take out from Kodesh that could now get mixed up. And again, it's not a useful borrowed term. So therefore, Mi'ika Dimuad Kodesh, Amre Devei Rabbi Loi, what we're talking about over here is Bimetaher et Tivlo Litomi Menu Nisachim. So basically, he has Tevel. This Tevel does not yet have Truma taken from, right? But this Amoritz, he wants to make sure that all of his processing, even of the Tevel, is in a Matzev of Tahira. Why? Because he has set it aside to bring the Truma, and to bring the wine to Kodesh for the Beis HaMikdash. So now, Tevel is Meduma by definition, in a sense, because it's always mixed Truma and Chulin, until such time as I've taken the Truma out of it. And therefore, since part of it is Miyuchet for the Karbonis, we treat it as Kodesh. And we said that the Am Haaretz is Neman on the Kadim for Kodesh, because we cannot allow him to bring things to the Beis HaMikdash and say, but the things that it's in, we can't allow him to have. That's the tremendous bizarion. He'll only be allowed to bring it if it's poured into other containers, so then we know that it came from Kalim that were Tmeim, that we didn't make such a gezerah. And then the Mishnah says you've got 70 days before the time in which you need these containers that they're considered to be prepared for the processing. Amar Rabbi Yishmael, you know, we see here that Dinahu, it seems to be clear that an oris is mechuyev to present part of the crop. He's a sharecropper. So he's got to present the share to be ready for the person that he's sharing this crop, the owner that he's sharing the crop processing with. He is b'chuyev to be toreach hagufe shivim yumim mikamim atzarta. This proves that since we're saying that the norm is to have things ready for processing 70 days before, apparently he has a chiyuv to start working on that 70 days in advance, because sharecropping is always done according to norms of agricultural usage.